This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Is butter a club?
I had a hunch you might be a real romantic.
We were decoys. He used us as bait. We procured for him.
We could have had a good life together. Fuck it, we were good life. But you didn't want it, Ennis. So what we got now is broke-back mouth.
I don't speak German, but I can if you like.
Ich liebe auch zu be clear. Ich glaube, Madre Monster, alles kann mich fragen, wie kann mich ausgebaut werden. Ich bin auch zu be clear. Ich komme mit Uster Monster, alles kann mich flausen, Fräulein, wie schon be clear. Ich liebe auch zu be clear. Ich glaube, Madre Monster, alles kann mich fragen.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9. And if you can't tell already, we are diving headfirst into the world of queer cinema. German cinema this evening.
What were they saying, Daniel?
What was that?
What were they? That sounds hot, whatever they were saying.
It's a little bit of Lady Gaga to kick the night off. Absolutely. We're lederhosened up. We've got our schnapps and pretzels and bratwurst and
sauerkraut.
Everything good.
It's all happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Diving into the world of queer German cinema, and there's a lot to get through tonight.
There is, but before we get into that, I have to give an on-air apology, Daniel. I do. Apparently, last week I offended some listeners and
particularly
some of my friends.
You offended a large portion of the queer community.
Maybe I was being a bit of an agent provocateur, a little shit stirrer when I said it. I think for people who didn't listen last week, we were talking about witches. We were queering up wizards and wizards, and of course we talked about Hocus Pocus, and Sarah Jessica Parker was in Hocus Pocus. And you know, I made allusions to the fact that that was the best that Sarah Jessica Parker ever looked. And and so there was offence was taken, umbrage. There was a lot of umbrage, and so I do apologise. It was really, I was doing my best take at a shock jock last week, and it looked like it succeeded. I did well.
We did torture him in the studio.
Throughout the bait, people took it. I love it. It was a success.
And so, you're wearing another pink shirt tonight.
No, it's red, remember?
It's red. It's houndstooth. David Jones, eat your
beautiful
heart out.
Cash for comment.
Look, we as much as we could fill up a whole hour talking about Alan's wardrobe in an interesting program, it would be. We're not talking about that this evening.
No.
We are looking at queer German cinema. And for a relatively small cinematic industry, filmic industry, there are some really noticeable queer films.
Well, the festival itself this year has actually got a really big selection of queer films. In fact, they even did a queer identity kind of screen, like special screening where they, you know, kind of invited people in and talked about that. So they've actually got an impressive selection.
Well, that's just it. And that's why we're doing the program tonight, because we are in the throes of the German Film Festival in Melbourne and right around the country, actually. And it's kind of wrapping to a close. So it's a really fitting time to look at some of the more notable films showing as part of that festival. And what struck me about the program was the amount of queer cinema that is included in it.
Absolutely. And they have a retrospective of Rainer Werner Fassbinder, if I could pronounce that correctly, who was a powerhouse of queer German film.
Working for just 15 years. And I think the figure is something like 40 films.
And
he was part of the kind of new wave of German cinema,
German
influential. And in fact, we had Peter Lehman on a few weeks ago talking about the way that the male body is used. And Lehman cites Fassbinder quite often in Running Scared as this kind of provocateur who redefined the way that men are shown on screen. And actually, there was a documentary on Fassbinder showing in the festival.
That's right. He's very much an enfant terrible. If someone knows the German equivalent to that, please let me know.
And you can message in on 0427JOY949 if you do.
Or email us onair@joy.org.au and let us know what you love about German cinema or what you like seeing in German films, because it is a really rich cinema industry, and that's what a festival like this by the Goethe Institute reminds us of. And
can I say, I think it was actually going to one of these German film festivals that really stimulated my interest in German film, which was really kickstarted by The Lies of Others from 2006, okay. which is a film about the Stasi in East Germany, and it was absolutely riveting. It's a fantastic film, and definitely if we're talking about our favourite German films, that's would have to be one of mine.
Well, we've looked at a number of German queer films on the program already this year, notably Guys and Balls, Summer Storm, both very different takes on the kind of coming of age, coming out sports comedy or drama, really interesting films. For me, one of my favourite German queer films is Give Me Your Hand, which...
I'm unfamiliar with that one.
It's I think there are about 25 words of dialogue in the full film.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And it's about two brothers and... an interesting relationship that they share.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. You're painting a picture?
it's quite a...
Is it a fetish picture?
It's a provocative film.
Oh, okay.
It's a confronting film. Mm-hmm. But it is for a film, you know, to pull off just 25 words in the full course of the film, it's a feat.
I'll say.
And Hedwig, which we covered a couple of weeks ago, would you call that kind of inspired by...
It's certainly inspired by German culture. Yeah. Hedwig is German. It's set in Berlin.
Yeah.
That's right.
And in fact, the film opens with this great song, Tear Me Down, which is all about the Berlin Wall, which is actually something that comes up in a lot of German cinema.
Yes.
It's
clear that it's left its imprint on the kind of cultural psyche.
Yep.
But anyway, this is a track, good segue, Gina. This is a track from Hedwig and the Angry Inch, Tear Me Down. You're listening to Outtakes here on Joy 94.9.
Don't you know me, Kansas City? I'm the new Berlin Wall. Try and tear me down. I was born on the other side of a town.
Yeah. Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
And you're on Outtakes here on Joy, and we are talking about queer German cinema tonight.
We've dived right in the deep end, and we've actually got a jam-packed show lined up. Some brilliant guests featuring who are showing film at this year's festival.
At the German Film Festival.
So later in the program, we'll be joined by Clemens Schick, who is one of Germany's brightest male actors, an out male actor. So really interesting to speak to him about his perspective of the cinema industry as a gay man, as an out gay man.
I'm really looking forward to that, Daniel, yeah. Mm.
And later in the program as well, we'll be hearing from Yala Haas, who is one of the upcoming actresses.
Upcoming?
Fully established,
my goodness.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But right now?
Well, right now I think we get started with the best person we should be speaking to about the German Film Festival that's on. We are actually joined by Sonja Grzechewski. Have I said that correct, Sonja?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Wonderful. Now, Sonja is the festival director of the German Film Festival. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Outtake, Sonja.
Thank you very much for having me.
Our pleasure.
Look, it's such an exciting program. The program that you've put together for the German Film Festival this year, it really is so exciting. So congratulations on a really wonderful program. But if we can take a step back for a moment, can you tell us a little bit about what the German film industry is like?
Oh, well, it's a very busy industry, especially right now. Last year we had about 250 productions in Germany. Mm-hmm. So it was quite a curse and a blessing to choose from so many new films. Because, it's really difficult. And we have 36 films of our program for 2 weeks. So that's already quite a lot. But still you have to make decisions. And it's really interesting because especially young female directors and actresses are very successful at the moment. And so we had quite a focus on them.
Is that a reflection of the, the kind of social environment in Germany at the moment?
I'm sitting in the cafe of the right now.
So yes, yeah, so we should actually say that it's one of the last nights.
It's pretty loud in here, so sometimes I don't really get it. So sorry, I didn't get the question.
Well, we should say it is one of the last nights of the festival, and you're in the cinema as we speak, which it makes it all the more exciting to speak to you. But we were wondering, you mentioned that there are so many female-driven films here, not just on-screen performances, but these are films made by women, female directors, female writers, female actresses. Why is it that we're seeing such a proliferation of films made by women about women?
And that's a very interesting question because we don't really know. I mean, there are some really exceptional women and their films probably boosted the whole industry. But like, for example, Maren Ade with Toni Erdmann at this year's Cannes Festival, she was a big surprise hit. I mean, she's a very young film director. It was her third film. And Toni Erdmann, which is a German comedy, which is not so normal because the Germans are not so well known for comedy. And the film is 2.5 hours long.
Oh, wow.
It was such a big success, and it's touring internationally now. It will be released in Australia as well next year. And I think she also just kind of was really important for that. But it's also the actresses. They're wonderful young actresses, and they get a lot of awards also internationally in Venice at the film festival. So I don't know really why, but it's wonderful.
It's actually wonderful to see because here in Australia, and you've probably seen the reports that have come out of Screen Australia, we are trying to build the representation of not only actresses, but, you know, writers, directors. In Germany, though, are films similar to the films that we make here? Do they receive funding from the government, or is there quite a big kind of, you know, production Hollywood-esque style of backers?
Industry,
How does the industry work over there when it comes to establishing new films?
Well, most of the time it's a mix because a lot of the films get support from TV productions. Mm-hmm. They are like co-productions with TV or TV. And there are also a lot of funding bodies like from the different states in Germany and Yeah, the government money is also involved, and the film schools are very important, especially for young filmmakers, because they have all the equipment and some support seed money as well. So, yeah, I think it's a mix of all that.
And
it's also that Germany does a lot, very many co-productions, which I think is also interesting.
I was just going to ask you about that, Sonia, yes. Because we were having a chat earlier, and one of our observations was that there are a lot of co-productions, especially within Europe. Why are we seeing so many co-productions?
I think, there are many reasons as well, but the two of the main reasons, first of all, I think that German filmmakers have always been very curious. So, like the new Wim Wenders film, I mean, it was filmed in Canada with an international cast. It was filmed in English, and Wim Wenders is known for his films in the U.S. and some other countries, in France. His last film was made in France and so on. So he was always very international. And other people as well. We have Doris Doria with her great film about Japan, the Fukushima story. Or we have a great punk film about punk in Myanmar, and so on. So German filmmakers just love to go to all these places and explore them. And I think the second reason
is they're going on junket. That's why we have these co-productions. They want to go on holiday.
I would too. Yeah.
Well, maybe. Yes. You never know. And it's also the EU funding. It's also the EU funding process, of course. I mean, that's for Japan, but I mean, it's easier to get if you make a film like with France and Italy and Germany, you will be able to get EU funding for that. So that's also why you have a lot of co-production.
Well, we certainly have a lot to learn in that funding model, and maybe we could teach your filmmakers about comedy, if comedy is not the, I don't know if Australian comedy, though, would translate very well.
Oh, we have a very distinct brand of comedy here.
Absolutely.
I think every second film that Australia makes has that larrikin comedy-esque feel about it.
Sonia, one of the reasons that we really wanted to highlight the German Film Festival this year is that the festival that you've put together is remarkable in that it features so many queer LGBT-related productions. Was that an initiative on your part, or is that really representative of the broader German landscape of film?
Yes, I think so, because, I mean, if you look at the Berlin Film Festival, the Berlinale, the Teddy Award is one of the oldest awards that they have, and it's for a queer film. So, and there are a lot of films coming from there, and it's not all of them are so explicitly gay or queer or whatsoever. It's also some, like, which is good in my opinion, that it's really just a normal thing in the film.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not labeled like a queer film. It's just a film about love or about, I don't know, whatever, and which is also good.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. Mm. And I wonder, is that because, is Germany a more progressive space when it comes to acceptance of queer and LGBT people? Are we seeing, you know, a representation here of the difference between Australian society and German society?
Well, I'm from Berlin, so there's a big difference between the big cities and the countryside. I mean, this is probably everywhere. But I think, in general, it's no problem in Germany. But we also have big discussion. It's not possible to marry in Germany.
That's right. I was about to ask you that. Marriage equality doesn't exist in Germany, and there doesn't seem to be much of a dialogue. Is that true?
There is some kind of a semi-marriage status, which is,
the civil union idea that the Brits put in place, yeah?
Yes. But it was very clear also from our chancellor that she said that marriage is between a man and a woman, and the family should be there. And
So it's Angela Merkel is the problem.
We can't throw stones here.
She's Germany's Tony Abbott. Tony Abbott. Yeah.
We share similarities.
Or Malcolm Turnbull.
Okay.
We feel their pain.
So look. I know that the festival is drawing to a close. Talk us through some of the highlights of this year's festival and what people listening who still want to get involved, who have a few days, what's left of the festival?
Well, what is really great, and that's what's going on right now here in Sydney, where I'm sitting, and it will be in Melbourne tomorrow, so there's a great chance to go see that. The film is a documentary called Dirty Games, about corruptions in sport, really from soccer to boxing to everything. And it features an Australian woman as well, Bonita Mathiades. She's some kind of a whistleblower. She was in the bid for the Australian team to bid for FIFA 2022 in Australia. And she's sitting in the cinema here right now, and she will be in Melbourne tomorrow talking about all that and what she found out. And it's also about Qatar being the next soccer city and so on. And
Doha in Qatar.
Yes. Yeah. And that was, and we had the same song going on at the panel yesterday in Brisbane, and it was a big success and a lot of questions from the people. And so that's still to come, which is great.
I must say, Sonia, it is really notable about this festival. You know, it's so well put together. Mm. So many international guests at the festival. Two of them at the moment, Ayala Hassan, Clemens Schlick, who we've got coming up later in the program, are both showing tomorrow night in Four Kings.
Yes, that's wonderful, because unfortunately Clemens left last night. He had to go back to Germany to find another film.
Yeah.
But he was in Melbourne before, and we were so lucky to have him because he's really busy and many great films. He had two films on the festival, Four Kings, which will be tomorrow, with one of our other guests as well, Jella Hase, who is in Brisbane right now. So we really sent him around.
I think we're going to be speaking with her later
in the program.
I think he was in a sci-fi film, wasn't he?
Hidden Reserves.
Hidden, called Hidden Reserves. And that is also really spectacular, and already won a prize in Zurich at the film festival. So, we had a great mix of films, and the guests were also good.
Yeah. Well, when I spoke to him, you know, it was clear how passionate he was about Hidden Reserves, Clemens. He was likening it to some of the character that he plays in this film. He was likening it to some of the great theatre, you know, characters that he's played in Shakespeare and,
And it's really, it's really the film. He's very, very present in the film. It's all about him. He's really the main character. You need a good person to carry a film through. And then Clemens does a marvelous job.
And I think there was also, you had a special event during this festival, which was the Queer Identity on Screen event that was hosted just a couple of nights ago. Could you tell us how did that Q&A go?
Yes, we had, that was in connection with one of the other films, also with our guest Jella Hase, the director of the film, Leonie Krippendorf, the film Looping.
Looping, yes, we'll be talking about that later on.
Yeah, we will.
And that was, it's a good example for a film that really is, it's not labeled as a queer film, but it has this topic in it, just like, because there are three women and they fall in love at one point, but it's not a big deal. It's really about the love between these people. And and so we thought it would be great to have a panel afterwards to really ask this question. If it's still important to have these labels, or how does, for example, Clemens Schlick, who is openly gay, but in Hidden Reserves or some other films, he's always the heterosexual lover. And if it's important or not, or if or the other way around, for Jella, who is in this other film, Looping, and she's not a lesbian, but she plays this woman. So is it important at all, or is it you don't have to be a murderer to play a murderer in a film? That's what Clemens always says. Oh,
look,
it's something we talk about each week, here on this.
Some really interesting content. It's, as I said, a really well put together program. So congratulations. For people listening who want to find out more about the festival and what's still showing, should they go to your website?
Yes. And the end is really long, so I always say just Google German Film Fest.
Yeah, easy to find. Well, congratulations. This is the 15th year of the festival, so we look forward to see what delights you'll bring us next year. Maybe some comedy for the 16th, perhaps?
I hope so. And then we have our closing night film, which is also really funny. It's a circus story. It's a silent film on black and white, so that's the last film you have the chance to see.
Wow. And I think there's going to be some performance art as well. at the closing
at the after party.
The after party.
Because it's a circus film, we thought we will have some circus things going on and a little party to say farewell.
It all washed down with lashings of beer and schnapps.
Yes.
And lots of kuchen and sauerkraut and all the wonderful things that Germans do so well.
Forgive the stereotype, says Sonia. I'll send the boys off to the cultural centre for a bit more.
Oh, okay.
No, we love it.
We'll happily come for tea. Come
Look, thank you for speaking with us, Sonia. Good luck
at
the festival.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Sonia.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Outtakes here on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You're on Outtakes tonight with Daniel, Alan and Gina, and we were just chatting with Sonia, who was the festival director, or is the festival director of the German Film Festival, which has got a few more days left, so make sure you go out and check that out.
We have dived into the world of queer German cinema, and really interesting to hear about, you know, the way that LGBT issues are handled in German cinema, but particularly in the context of the socio-cultural environment there at the moment.
And we did have a look at some of the films, and one of the films we had a look at were Four Kings. And it was quite interesting hearing Sonia kind of talk about this with female artists and filmmakers, but also the comedy aspect, because the films that we've kind of looked at tonight, there is no comedy.
No, they are
very serious kind of films. They're not coming of age queer films, and that was really nice to see. It was very refreshing. But they're very serious content films. Like a few times watching, I know Four Kings and Lupin, which we'll look at later, I almost had to stop and take a breather, because
Lupin is a heavy film. There's
very
no
heavy
doubt.
Film.
And Four Kings too. And I think Clemens Schick does really well in this role to kind of mediate. The film is about four teenagers in a psychiatric ward over Christmas. And Clemens plays the a very unconventional psychiatrist who tries to kind of mediate these four personalities. And I actually found his presence in the film really refreshing, and a kind of that was the breather for me from some of these other conflicts in the story.
Look, initially when the film started, and I thought, oh my God, we're watching The Breakfast Club in Germany set in, a psychiatric emergency unit, and then there is a moment with one of the characters who I identified as a queer character.
I did too.
What was his name?
Fedger. Yeah, sorry.
And there's a scene in there quite early on, and then I'm like, oh, hang on a sec.
Absolutely.
They've taken it to another level. And I was so thankful that they have, because it wasn't fluff.
But also it was so interesting in that it was never articulated.
No.
It was kind of there for audiences who were willing to read into it.
And that was the nice – oh, sorry, Alan.
I was about to say, like the queer audience, we picked up on it immediately. Easily. We could see that here's this boy who's been bullied as a boy at school. Boom, we identified.
Like I said, I think Clemens really does play a really pivotal role in this film. Yeah. He's also in Hidden Reserves, which is a much more kind of dystopian, futuristic film, very reminiscent of Blade Runner, 1984. So it's interesting to see how versatile an actor he is, because he's relatively new to the film world. But, you know, already he's been in some really notable films like Casino Royale, Enemy at the Gates, Point Break. So it was really, really great to sit down with him. He is an out gay actor, and it's really...
But only recently so, isn't that right?
Very recently, yeah. It came out in his early 40s.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting to sit down with him. But of course, we started by talking about the two films, Four Kings and Hidden Reserves, which is featuring in this year's German Film Festival. And I asked him about the films and you know, what it was like putting those together. And this is what Clemens had to say. I did about this festival.
Well, thank you so much. I am, because Hidden Reserves and Four Kings are two movies who are really important to me. Work with the directors was great. The actors who are in the movies, I'm really in love with them. So both movies mean very much to me, and I'm happy that they're going to be shown already in Australia.
You know, what I love is that you started out your career on the stage doing a lot of theatre work in some really notable productions as well, Tennessee Williams, Shakespeare. Were you able to kind of take some of your experience from stage, you know, as you moved into film?
Very much. For me, it was very important to start my career as a theatre actor, because rehearsing time was very important to me, because I could try out, make mistakes. And at the beginning of my career, I was sort of a fearful actor. I lost that fear over 5 years, and then I sort of developed myself. And as you said, I was really lucky to play some really important roles. It was important for me to be on big stage, big audiences. I played in front of 2,000 people, 800 people, 600 wow. people, big parts. And now to have that experience of a stage actor and go in front of a camera and be minimalistic, only playing with the camera and with your partner, I love that.
And not every actor can say that their kind of entry point into the film industry was a Bond film, which is huge.
You know, acting-wise, it was sort of a small part. In the same year I was doing Bond, I played Richard III, I played Don Carlos, I played Cat Brick and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, and I had a solo show. So, you know, I was like, as a theater actor, there was, at that time, there was not much more possible.
Yeah.
And so being a bad guy, being a bodyguard of Mads Mikkelsen was sort of a small part, acting-wise. But it was a great, great, great experience. You have to imagine that being in a Bond movie means that in every department, it's the best of the world. And I was lucky to be 6 months with the best of the world and could learn from them. So this was, it was such an important lesson to my career.
Well, what's amazing is that since then, your filmography is huge. So many projects, and you've played so many different characters.
Lots of movies, some good ones, some bad ones. But, of course, you know, I learned from every project.
Is the German cinema scene, is it a vibrant cinema landscape?
It is. We have big TV industry. We have also, of course, like a film industry. But yeah. I'm really happy that I decided 4 years ago to start to look for agencies around the world. So I have an agency right now in Paris. I have one in Los Angeles. I worked in so many countries like Brazil, Israel, you know, so because it's not easy to find good projects. So I'm really happy that I'm not only working in Germany, but around the world.
Do you notice a difference in the different cinema industries?
Well, on one side, it's a very international, globalized industry. And on the other side, of course, there are cultural differences. But at the end, the sort of the globalization in the industry is stronger than the cultural individuality.
Now, I did want to ask, Clemens, I was doing some research and I did find out that around the time that you had done Bond, you did come out quite publicly. I'd be very interested to know if coming out has in any way affected your career.
Well, I came out not when I was doing Bond. Bond I did in 2007. I came out like 1.5 years ago.
Oh, so quite recently.
So it's quite recently, yeah. And I cannot really answer your question because I will know that in 10 years or 15 years.
Yeah.
Right now, I've never done so good, interesting projects than after coming out. So right now, I would say there's no influence of it. But, you know, it's difficult. Sometimes you don't know which projects I would have done if I wouldn't have come out, you know?
So, absolutely.
But I'm happy with my career. I'm happy with the decision. And so what do I want? You know, I'm happy.
One of the things that struck me about this program, I don't know how many of the films you have time to see while you're here with the festival, but the wonderful thing about it is there is so much LGBT content. And I wonder if that is representative of the German cinema landscape.
There is, but it's not like I would say that it's surprisingly a lot of representation. There are movies who sort of take care of the subject, but it's not that I would say now that the German film industry is famous for LGBT movies. No, I wouldn't say that. But of course, there are some good movies who play around that.
And is that generally indicative of German society and broader social attitudes in Germany?
It's always a difference if we talk about big cities or about the countryside.
Yeah.
I think that's a worldwide phenomenon. If
Absolutely.
You talk about Melbourne, Sydney, Berlin, Munich, Hamburg, there might be a different awareness. You know, it's interesting. Like I'm gay. Sometimes I feel more bisexual. I came out, but I don't really define myself through LGBT themes. Or, you know, it's like sort of, I feel sometimes like I came out kind of, I felt it's a political step you have to do. But I never felt that I defined myself very much through my sexuality.
Yeah.
It's part of my life. I'm very happy with it. But I never had a sort of LGBT friends or was engaged in it. So, but to come out was for me more a step out of, I felt so confident with who I am
yeah.
that I couldn't accept that who I am can't be open.
It's fascinating because there's so much talk, particularly out of Hollywood, about people being worried that coming out will somehow harm their career. And then we do see internationally especially that that's not the case. So it's really encouraging to see, especially to see you here with such interesting and dynamic films. So let's talk about those films. Four Kings is a film about four teens in a psychiatric hospital. You, of course, play a very unconventional psychiatrist. It's a very heavy film. I mean, was it heavy putting the film together?
I mean, Teresa Fromelz, who is the director, is an incredible strong person, and she's the one who made this film possible. She's the one who fought for this movie, and she's the one where all the actors are in the movie because she's such an incredible personality.
Mm.
And it's a very small budget movie, and you don't see that.
No,
and,
you don't.
That's of course always important. You never want to see the budget. It took a lot of energy from everybody to make it how it is now.
But then, you know, you put something like Hidden Reserves alongside Four Kings. It's an entirely different kind of film.
Yes, it is.
This one is very, it's dystopian, it's reminiscent of Blade Runner 1984. I mean, it's actually a really interesting story.
To get a part like that Vincent Baumann is such a gift for an actor. This is the stories I want to tell. This is the roles which remind me of playing Richard III. I mean, you know, like, you have to carry the theater piece if you play Richard III. You have to carry Hidden Reserves if you play Vincent Baumann.
Mm.
And that's also a difference between Four Kings and Hidden Reserves, that Four Kings is an ensemble movie, and it's like they're like five actors carrying together with the director of this film. Hidden Reserves is much more like there's this lonely character going through that movie, and I felt much more lonely, which was good for their work, when I did Hidden Reserves than
yes.
when I did Four Kings.
Well, that was my interview with Clemens Schick, who's showing in two films at this year's German Film Festival, Four Kings and Hidden Reserves.
And I think our listeners should do themselves a favour and check out Clemens Schick, because he is one very attractive man. And I was telling you both off air that I would not kick him out of bed for eating crackers, that is for sure.
Look,
he can eat crackers in
looking.
My bed any
Some
day.
Breakfast in bed?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's Clemens Schick with this amazing piercing blue eyes. Yeah. So very
clearly a very humble man as well.
Yeah, he is.
Really generous of him to sit down. You know, he wasn't in Melbourne for very long at all. So it was great to sit down with him. But look, we've been asking our listeners to message in.
And we've had a message here from Richard from Caulfield. And he says, hi guys, interesting show. It's been great hearing about different film festivals from a queer angle this year. We forget how lucky we are in Melbourne to have a different film festival on all the time.
And that's true.
I agree. Really are.
We really
are.
We do get a little bit spoiled for choice. And we also have a message from Dave, who says, keep up the good work, team. And he watched The Breakfast Club today in allusion to
very
Gina.
Good. Well, Four Kings, look, it might start off like The Breakfast Club, but I can assure you it does
finish.
Not end
okay.
like that. But I highly recommend people go
great.
And check
well,
it
look,
out.
Well, look, there's more
films.
On German film and the German Film Festival on Outtakes right after this.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Put down the knitting, the book and the broom. It's time for a holiday. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Come taste the wine, come hear the band, come blow your horn, start celebrating. Right this way, your table's waiting. What good's permitting some prophet of doom to wipe every smile away? Life is a cabaret, old chum, so come to the cabaret. Are
used to have this girlfriend known as Elsie, with whom I shared four sordid rooms in Chelsea. She wasn't what you...
Oh, we all love a bit of cabaret and highly appropriate for tonight's topic. You're listening to Outtakes with Daniel, Alan and Gina, and we are looking at queer German cinema.
And we are joined on the phone this evening by Jella Husse, who is the it girl of German cinema at the moment. She is starring in three films at the German Film Festival, starring in Heidi, Looping and The Four Kings. And we've just briefly spoken about The Four Kings, and now we're going to be talking to Jella about Looping.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Jella, my goodness, are there any other roles for any other German actresses? My goodness, your credits are amazing for your
thank
age.
You.
Well done. When did you start acting? How old, can I ask how old you were? Because you've got a very impressive selection.
I just turned 24 1 month ago, and at the age of 10.
At the age
I started playing in a theater group, but at the age of 15, I decided to apply in an agency, and since then, I'm just doing this,
Now, we've been talking...
It worked out.
We've been talking a lot about, what German cinema is generally like. We'd love to get your thoughts on the German cinema landscape, German film. What do you think are some of the defining characteristics of German cinema for people here in Australia who may not be so familiar with it?
And what was the question? Was it German? I'm on a mountain right now in Brisbane, so I'm sorry.
What do you think are some of the defining characteristics of German cinema?
What makes German cinema German?
I think at the moment we have very strong stories of, which are taken from the real life, basically. We have very strong female filmmaker at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you've seen Wild, for example, from Nicola Tibbetts, and the stories about a young woman who starts a relationship with a wolf. That was so stunning, that movie. It was really taken. And Marin Ade, for example, with Tony Erdmann, who just won the in Cannes right now and who might be invited to Oscars. So I think being realistic and telling stories from real life is a big quest or power of German films right now.
But interestingly, you are showing in three films at this year's German Film Festival here in Melbourne, and two of the films are set in psychiatric facilities. Is that a common theme in German film, or
no? I don't know why this film. Actually, there was a third movie where I was asked to play in and take a role. But I thought, no, I can't do this.
I did start to think there was a commonality there with queer cinema, adolescence, and these institutions. So I'm glad to hear that that's not.
That's
but it was, look, those two films were absolutely beautiful. And your performance, especially in Looping, extraordinarily brave, can I just say. That was quite a hard film to sit through, especially at the beginning. And I don't want to give it away for the audience because I want them to go see it. But as an actress, to perform that and to allow yourself to be so vulnerable, it was. How do you prepare for something like that?
Well, in the case of Looping, I had a brilliant director on my side, Leonie Kuttendorf, and she really gave me the opportunity to feel safe. And I could just go wild. She would just make me always gave me a very safe feeling. And so I was brave enough to play it and fearless, kind of. Because you always need a good director, I think, to do movies like this. And we had a brilliant DOP and Korean woman, Jin Yi, who made the camera. And it was just such good energy. And we liked. We're still friends. We became friends during the movie, and I think it's so important that you like each other. And
there are some really interesting themes in Looping as well, particularly this kind of sexual attraction, which a lot of people have called lesbian, and a lot of people have said, well, hang on, it's not particularly lesbian at all.
I didn't think so.
No. What were your thoughts on the sexual tension and the desire that kind of evolves in the film?
In general or the film?
In looping.
I think it's not about, about being lesbian or not. It's about falling in love with human beings and just try to, to escape from real life or, to be able to protect yourself in this kind of moment, in this special kind of moment, and to create a new kind of relationship. And it's totally not about being gay or whatever, but just about being human.
Which is quite refreshing as well to see these stories, and there are clear there's clear same-sex attraction, but the film is not about that. It's about so much more.
For me, it was really impressive to see three generations of women interacting in that story, and the bond that kind of grew between them. That for me was probably the most powerful part of the film.
Yeah, and I know that Leonie Kuttendorf, the director, she was afraid whether this worked out properly or not. And it was extremely important that we all three liked each other and
could
perform in that way that you would believe a 19-year-old girl falling in love with a 50 and with a woman in her 30s. So, but there was special energy and...
I think the sweetest scene in the film is where you talk about your character talks about time traveling, where she puts her hand on one woman's stomach and mentions, "Oh, this is me in 15 years," and on the other lady's stomach in 30 years. I thought that was a very sweet a sweet moment.
Now we are running out of time, Yella, but I do really want to ask you about Four Kings because that's showing tomorrow night, and it is a really interesting film. So we'd love to give our listeners your take on what that film is about.
It's about four young adults who have to celebrate their Christmas together in Saget Hospital, and it's about growing in confidence again. I would say it's not about diseases and or special cases, but about human beings who are in trouble and who try to find themselves again, I would say.
And I think you're right. I think that definitely shows through in this film that these four characters actually do develop in confidence. They actually start to grow. And I think that's the unconventional treatment of the psychiatrist really does show through. In my mind, I see him as a horse whisperer. He knows exactly what to say and how to say it to draw these young people out.
Yeah, he takes them seriously. And I think he's one of the first persons who takes them seriously for a long time. And that's why he's so important.
And that's right. He gives these young people self-confidence and self-worth. And
exactly.
I think that for us was what was the defining moment of the film right at the end where we think there was that sort of validation that came through.
Yeah.
Look, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you, Yella. I wish we had more time, but we're running right out of time.
Right out of time.
So thank you so much for putting aside the time to speak with us, and enjoy your stay here in Australia.
And by the way, your performances were fantastic in Looping and Four Kings.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Yella.
Have a nice evening.
Good night.
Enjoy. Bye-bye.
Wow, so interesting.
36 credits. Can I just say, she's 24 years old and she's got 36 acting credits. My goodness, that girl is impressive. And awesome. Where she's going to go to next,
blows
me away.
The German Catherine Deneuve.
Very brave actress. I'll just say that. Extremely brave actress.
These are really tough films
to watch. And I think she hit the nail on the head. The chemistry between the three actresses in Lupin was perfect. Spot on. Well cast.
Yeah, look, that's what I love about German cinema. It is so gritty. It's been a fascinating hour. But that's all we've got time for.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.